Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org for a study guide outline of today's lessons, as Nathan will continue his teaching series on the resurrection of Tabitha. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We just studied Peter's miraculous healing of the palsied man Aeneas. Now we learn of the death of a disciple at Joppa, named Tabitha in Aramaic, or Dorcas in Greek. And we read about this in Acts chapter 9, and starting in verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Now this portion is of very great importance, for it is far more than simply the record of the resurrection from the dead of Dorcas. This portion we have before us contains hidden truths, which we need to discover and thus to add to our intelligence regarding divine things. My interpretation of this portion will be quite strange. It will be different. And it is simply that of me and my ministry. If there should be any who do not agree with me, that is perfectly all right. If there are any who do agree with me, that is perfectly all right. In my interpretation of this, I seek the approval of my Lord, and if any care to differ, they may do so. Now the problem of Tabitha is that she is the only disciple, the only believer in the Acts period who was sick and who died what we would call a natural death. Now I know that Stephen died just before this, but Stephen died at the hands of men. Stephen was a martyr, and men could be martyred in the Acts period. They had to live and believe in the expectation that this could take place. We have also seen that Ananias and Sapphira died, but they died at the hands of the Lord because of their sin. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now 1 Corinthians was written during the Acts period, and it says that many in Corinth were sick and many were dead. But these died because of failure to conform to the divine order. They did not just die a natural death. So therefore, the sickness and the death of Tabitha imposes a real problem. This woman was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Scripture declares. And she was full of good works. We know that, and if we take the Word of God to be inspired, and all of its descriptions to be accurate, this filled her life. Full there and full of good works is the Greek plerēs, and means filled up or thoroughly permeated with. She was full of good works. No wonder the divine condition that existed in the Acts period, she should not have been sick and she should not have died. This woman's illness and her subsequent death cannot be explained by saying that these were just the outflow of Adam's sin. As in Adam, all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22, and so on. No, the believers of the Acts period were cut off from Adam, and they were free from the results of sin so far as sickness and death were concerned. Romans 8 and verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." In Romans 8:11, the Spirit writes through Paul, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." These people were free from the law of sin and death. Though they were still in their mortal bodies, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead was enlivening, giving life, infusing with life their mortal bodies. And so they were not expecting to die in Adam. They were set free from that. I believe that when we make a careful examination of all the facts, they will show that this woman's illness and her death were the result of failing to conform to God's order. Well, you might ask, what was this order that she violated? Well, it was the order the Lord declared, quoting the Old Testament scripture in Matthew 4 and verse 4, when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, the Lord there declared that under his government, men could not live by bread alone. The only way that a man can live and conform to God's order, when it is established fact on this earth, is by feeding on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this was during the Lord's temptations by Satan, but our Lord was not just rebuking Satan here. Our Lord was declaring an established truth, and he was establishing this truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If they do not, they will starve to death from lack of God-given food. Now, that's not the way it is today. Today, there are many people who live by bread alone, and they do not need the Word of God in order to continue to live. We live in a time when the Word of God can be completely and totally neglected in our lives, and yet nothing will happen to us as a result, for we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. But that could not be in the Acts period. Now, the life of Dorcas was so full of good works and alms deeds that there was no place for the Word of God. You might say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible declares here that this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. There is something in the Word that might illustrate this. In the Old Testament, as well as in the New, we have the word consecration. For example, the priests were consecrated to the Lord. That word consecration means literally to fill the hand. So whenever anyone says, my hands are full, he means he is consecrated to something. Oftentimes when people tell us, my hands are full, we wonder what their hands are filled with. Well, generally, it is the affairs of this life, the cares of this world, the family matters, the business matters, the financial matters. Well, they must read a financial website, but they don't have time to read the Word of God. They say, my hands are so full, I have no time to read the Bible. Well, they can get away with this in the dispensation of the grace of God. And a woman's life, like Tabitha, her life could be completely filled with her family. And that is not a bad thing. It might be full with the needs of her husband, and that would not be a bad thing. But when a life is full, even if it is filled with good things, to neglect the Word of God will bring difficulties when God's kingdom is in the earth. Now, Tabitha's time and strength were given to feeding and clothing others, and she had no time nor strength left to feed herself on the Word of God. If this woman's life was filled with good works, then that was the thing to which her life was consecrated, and that could not be according to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The importance of feeding on God's word was emphasized by the Lord Jesus in his dealings with Mary and Martha in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, where we read, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' But Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now Martha had chosen to serve him and was busy and troubled about many, many things. But Mary chose to sit at his feet and hear his word. And the Lord had approved of Mary and rebuked Martha, although it was a loving, mild rebuke. Tabitha had chosen to emulate Martha, and she served these people apparently by making garments to clothe them. She had chosen service to the neglect of the Word of God, and that choice could not be passed over lightly by the Lord. He did not say, "Well, she means well, so let's look over it." Now, we have already seen that the 12 apostles realized this truth in Acts 6 and verse 2. When the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." And they declared, literally in the Greek, that it doesn't make sense. It is an insane thing to do that we would leave the word of God to serve tables. And therefore, they refused to do it. Now, in spite of all this, Tabitha felt that her service to men would make up for her neglect of the word of God. However, God would not alter his clearly established order to suit the program of any woman, no matter how good her works may be. The outcome of this service in self-will was that she became ill and died. I believe that her sickness was not because she got a bug, a bacteria, or a virus. No, both of these, the sickness and the death, were from the hand of the Lord. The sickness was laid on her as a punishment and a warning. And because there was no change, she probably tried to go on and make these garments in spite of the sickness. Well, therefore, death came upon her. I believe that these were both from the hand of the Lord. Now, as already mentioned in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, it was a strict custom in Israel to bury a person as soon as possible after death. But there's something different here. For in the case of Tabitha, her fellow disciples believed something was strange. Something wasn't quite right here, and so her body was kept until Peter arrived. It is evident her friends felt that something had gone wrong somewhere. Something had gone awry. Had not Jesus Christ said in John 14 and verse 19, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." He had said that, "Because I live, you will live also." And they were all enjoying that life, and they were set free from the fear of natural Adamic death. Yet in spite of these words of promise, here was a woman who had died, and she had died in a time when these promises were in full force. So they scratched their heads. What crime could this kind, generous woman possibly have committed, whose every effort was to do good works and charitable deeds? There is no doubt but that her fellow disciples were greatly puzzled. In the Acts period, if they were not martyred, well then only some grievous fault against the laws of God's kingdom could ever bring death upon them. And they do not understand how Tabitha could have done anything worthy of such harsh treatment. However, they're relieved to think that there was a man 9 miles away who may have all the answers. So they place her body in an upper chamber and send for Peter. Verse 38. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent 2 men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So once again, they can't understand what has happened to Tabitha. Something is wrong here. She didn't do anything worthy of death. But they hear that Peter is nearby. Well, they think, let's bring God's apostle in on. He'll be able to solve this. He'll know what to do. Verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Once again realize that widows in the land of Israel, especially ones with no adult male to care for them, her father is dead, she doesn't have any sons or they aren't grown up. Well, widows like that were in the worst possible state of anyone in Israel, absolute poverty. Thus, much of Tabitha's labors had probably been bestowed upon widows in this pitiable condition. And these widows appreciated her kindness, and they cannot understand why she has died. Why would God do something like this? Now we need God's perspective on this whole scene. At this point, it will be good for us to get the whole picture of the situation as it existed the moment Peter stood in that upper chamber. Now at this time, above all and over all, was God in Christ, the King of the kingdom, that was then just starting to flower and bloom on earth. He was the highest of the heavens, that were associated with him in this rule that was being enacted on the earth. Under him, next under him, the highest of the heavens, stood Peter, an apostle, an authorized and accredited representative of God's government, who had full power to bind a matter on earth and have it bound in heaven, or loose a matter on earth and have it loosed in heaven. Just like Christ said he would give his 12 apostles the power to do, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, and Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Finally, there was Tabitha, a subject of the kingdom of the heavens, who would cast her lot with it even before it spread out to encompass the earth. She was dead, and it is quite evident that she was dead because of an imbalance in her life. She had the wrong diet, too much of good works and too little of the Bible. There had been too much of the work of God and too little of the Word of God in her life. And let me tell you, under heaven's government, that condition cannot be tolerated. There is going to be, shall we say, a divine diet when God governs this earth, and it cannot be all the Word and no work, and it cannot be all the work and no Word. That is the lesson we have to learn from this incident. However, Peter was a man under authority, but he could not act in this case apart from direction from his superiors. God had acted upon Tabitha, and if Peter wished to appeal that decision and to seek grace for Tabitha, he had every right to do so. Well, thank God, there is no red tape when you deal with heaven's government. Verse 40. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So Peter needed direction from his superior. Tabitha clearly deserved mercy. God's government is a fair one, but a righteous government will always show mercy where it is warranted. Thus, God gave Peter the authority to raise her from the dead. Peter could pronounce people dead with a word, as he pronounced Ananias dead with a word in Acts 5, 3 through 4, and as he pronounced his wife Sapphira dead with a word in Acts 5 and verse 9. But Peter, as a representative of God's government, can also reverse death with a word. As human beings, it is within our power to bring death, and yet it is utterly impossible and beyond our power for us to bring life back to the dead again. You know, I think about all the times when, where I live in Minnesota, there's plenty of mosquitoes. How many times I've seen that little bug biting my arm, and I've slapped it and put it to death. Well, I can do that. I can bring death to that mosquito. But even that little tiny mosquito, that little pathetic being, once I brought it to death, I can't restore it to life again. My power over life and death only goes one direction. But God's power over life and death goes both ways. And Peter's power over life and death went both ways because Peter got such power from God. Now it is most evident that this woman was deserving of mercy. And under a just government, mercy will always be shown when it is deserved. Now, mercy, understand, is a favor shown to those who have some claim on the divine pity. Whereas grace is a favor that is wholly undeserved, or never takes deserving it into account. The resurrection of Tabitha is a clear act of mercy under God's government. While Peter has full power to raise the dead, he would not undo what God above him had done until he cleared it with the one above and over him. And this is the reason for his prayer. He asked, and he sought for the will of God. He prayed and made request of heaven what he should do. He received the answer, and then he turned to the body and spoke the words that brought this woman back to life. Yes, he sought the will of God in regard to this dead woman. He may have felt he lacked wisdom in view of the fact that a judgment had come down from heaven, and this woman was dead as the result. Yet once this will was known, he restored her to life. You may remember, once again in Acts 5, Peter spoke the words that sent two disciples into the state of death. Here he speaks the word that brings one disciple out of the state of death. What clearer proof do we need that death is not a reward, but is a punishment? Peter did not send Ananias and Sapphira to a reward, and he did not take Tabitha away from her reward. No, he restored to her something lost, and he did that as a representative of heaven's government, destined to sit on one of the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 41. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Well, I would think that this must have brought them great joy and a little awe. Yet they were part of God's government, and they probably hoped exactly this would happen when they called for Peter. They were more surprised by Tabitha's death, it seems, than by her resurrection. And in the context of the Acts period, that makes sense. It wouldn't make sense today, but then we don't live under God's government today. Verse 42, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So whatever the believers in Jesus Christ, those who already believed in him, thought, this was a powerful sign to those who had not yet believed. Thus, through this event, the gospel continues to grow and to dominate the scene as it spread. Now, the inhabitants of these towns it mentions were all Israelites. The overwhelming majority of the Israelites continued to hear the word gladly, just as they had heard Christ gladly when he was on earth. Verse 43. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So Peter stayed in Joppa in the home of a tanner. And this doesn't impact us like it should, unless we realize that the homes of tanners, that is, those who tanned the hides of animals, were usually built away from the rest of the town and downwind, as they stank. Most would not have wanted to stay there. Moreover, when Peter accepted the hospitality of the man Simon the tanner, he was lodging with a man who was considered unclean from the Jewish standpoint. Now, I do not say from the scriptural standpoint, but from the Jewish standpoint, anyone who dealt with hides of animals was considered unclean. This tradition had very little basis in the Word of God, and thus it seems that Peter completely ignored it. He well knew from the Lord that he was to follow God's clean and unclean laws, not those made up by the Jewish leaders. Here Peter broke with this Jewish scruple that had no real foundation in the Word, and that was a step in the right direction regarding truth. And God was going to lead Peter further down this road, as we'll see when we examine the very important chapter of Acts 10. So in this portion, Tabitha had died. But not like we die, because we're all dying in Adam, but because her life was out of order according to the kingdom rules. She gave herself wholly to the work of God, consecrated herself to it, and therefore had no time left for the Word of God. This will never be allowed under God's government. Yet a good government is always merciful, and God showed mercy to her. In this way, we learn once again that the Acts period was far different from what we experience today. It was part of God's government, and we live not under God's government, but under God's grace. This is the dispensation of the grace of God, and God does not act in government today. Someday he will act in government again, and then we will see what an earth governed by God truly looks like. Well, may God speed the day. But let us all learn the lesson here, that God is not pleased by those who spend all their time working for him and no time in his word. Let's understand the importance of that, the importance that Martha needed to learn, and the importance that Tabitha needed to learn, the importance that we need to learn. And let's learn from the Word of God.
What a lesson this is to all confess to a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All too often, the measure of a good Christian is how busy one is in church or in other Christian endeavors. God has given us His Word. It is the means to knowing Him, His highest desire for us. Let us never neglect the study of God's Word. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the resurrection of Tabitha. On our next program, Nathan will continue his study in the book of Acts with Cornelius the Centurion. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program will motivate you to study God's Word more, causing you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. Knowing God in the Word is now available on our podcast via both Apple and Spotify. You can now listen to Nathan's lessons anywhere on the go. We have over 6 years of past broadcasts already uploaded on these platforms. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, and that is going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. You can email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible Studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.